Book of Galatians, chapter 4, we're starting from verse 1.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Now, St. Paul is trying to convince the church of Galatians. What he's trying to say, you are going backward, observing the law, but let me tell you how it works. And he's giving an example. He says, if there is a child, rich man's child, and before father dies, makes the will for the child, and he gives that some kind of authority to some other people to take care of his child, as well as government, the governors, and everything is belong to this child, but he is not able to take anything out of it until the certain time. Certain time means if the father said he should be 21 and then give my estate, or he is 18, give my estate, until then you don't give him anything because he is a child, he just doesn't know what to do with the money or property. He said exactly that happens. And he says once, even though you saying that I'm the children of Abraham, but you are still the servants under the authority. So what he's trying to say, you have some kind of authority somebody has to give to you when you come to certain age. All the children of Israel, they were under the law. And under the law, they were like a servants or bondage. He says, until Jesus Christ came into this world. Read the verse 4, please.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law.
See, when the fullness of time, now people can tell you different things what the fullness of time is. But God knows the right timing. So God sent his Son. Why he didn't send the day Adam committed sin and Jesus could come and die for him? But God waited. He gave the law to these people. And they start doing the law. And they were under the law and frustrated. Even the Moses who gave the law, he was frustrated. And he said, Lord, I cannot take these people. I don't know how to lead these people. Take my life. I cannot lead these people. Then Moses starts saying, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 to 18. Okay.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him he shall hearken.
Now this is Moses saying. Moses saying to the children of Israel, I am tired of you. You are not listening to me. Many people are dying, disobeying the Lord. He says, there is another prophet is coming. God is going to raise another prophet. Now God did not tell Moses this, but this is his vision. He thought that God is going to raise another prophet. He was talking about Jesus. Read the verse 18. This is God saying,
I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him.
Now, here the word of God is saying to Moses, Moses, you are not able to do the job. I'm going to send my son. So the Galatians chapter 4 verse 4, it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. In this world, in the family of Israelites, why he didn't send his son in a Hindu family or the Buddhist family or some other families? Why did he send Jesus Christ in the family of Israelites? And why does he have to take the form of man? You could come like an angel. Why did he do it? The word of God says, the man committed sin, and the man was guilty, and the man had the death penalty hanging on him. But the blood of bulls and goats were not able to give us eternal life. That's why Jesus Christ took the form of man. Now he says, seed of woman, he come through the woman. Why? Because Jesus Christ did not come with a will of man or will of woman. He was the seed of God, and he came as seed of God. And the word of God says, Jesus Christ is called the word of God, and he is called the seed of God. When Mary believed that God is able to do miracle, and she said, let it be according to your word. And then word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that was Jesus. So here it says, according to the time, Jesus Christ came under the law. That means he has to keep the law. If Jesus Christ would have broken the law, then he would have been punished. But Jesus never broke the law. He said to the people, when they say, why are you doing this in Sabbath day? You are breaking the law. He says, I am fulfilling the law. This, he says, my father works all the time. They thought, you know, only 6 days he worked, 7 days he rested. That means until then, God is not doing anything. God is maybe sleeping. No, God is working all the time. The word of God says, our God never sleeps and never slumbers. But the Jewish people thought, finish, everything is finished and nothing is happening. But the Jesus Christ says, my Father works all the time, and I am also working all the time. And so he said, I did not come to condemn the law, I came to fulfill the law. That's why he came under the law. And on the cross of Calvary, what did he say? It is finished. That means whatever the Father told me to do, I finished the law, I finished the plan of salvation, I finished the plan of redemption, and it's done. And so, it was according to the will of God, Jesus Christ came under the law to redeem the people who were under the law. Okay, let's go to the Galatians chapter 4, verse 6.
And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Now see, he is saying, because you are sons, God hath sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, these people might be a little bit confused. Who are these people I'm talking about? If anybody Jewish person sitting there and listening to him, he says, we are the children of Abraham. We are the children of God. He says, no, sir. I'm telling you how you became the children of God. Do you know the Nicodemus was the rabbi? Nicodemus was the Jewish leader. He comes to Jesus Christ and he asked the question. Let's go back to the John chapter 3 and start reading from verse 3 to 5.
Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus. This Nicodemus was not ordinary man. He was rabbi. He was the teacher of the law. He was teaching the law. To him, Jesus Christ is saying, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God the way you are. That means, whatever the law you're doing, whatever the teaching you're doing, you are not going to make it to heaven. So he said, what should I do? He said, you must be born again. He didn't understand, what do you mean born again? Then he says, you have to born again experience. If you read up to 7, then you know. Born again experience, he said, it happens by the Spirit of God. We know a little bit more how we can be a children of God. How? Let's go to the John chapter 1. He says, you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. John 1, 12.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Now, the Abraham's children, they were saying, we are children of God. But he's saying, no. You have to believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then I will give you power or authority to be called the sons of God. And then the verse 13, he says, please read.
Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
So he says, if you want to be a child of God, you have to be born from above, or born of God. Because if you are born according to your mother's will and your father's will, you cannot go to heaven. And many people are born with their mother and father's desire. That's why I said Jesus Christ was not born with his mother's and father's desire. He was born from above. So when you are born from above, how can we be born from above? We are born by the Spirit of God. Go back to the Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6.
And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
He says, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. When God sends his Spirit or his Son's Spirit into your heart, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Until then, the Spirit of Christ doesn't come to you. Some people say, oh, my mother and father, they are Christian and we go to church and I think we are the children of God. Doesn't work that way. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Book of Romans chapter 8 verse 9, if you read, it says if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. Means you cannot call yourself Christian.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
See, first of all, he says, if you are in the Spirit of God will dwell in you, and the Spirit of Christ will dwell in you. So the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ dwells in you when? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to have separate Spirit of God and separate Spirit of Christ. The day you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the day Father and Son lives in you. And the Father says, I'm going to send the Spirit of my Son in you. And the Son says, I'm going to bring Father with me. So it works together. Now, in Galatians chapter 6, he says, Father says, I'm going to send the Spirit of my Son in you. Read the St. John chapter 14, verse 23, what the Son is saying.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
See now, Father says, I'll send the Spirit of Son in you. Son says, listen. If you love the Father, if you love me, if you keep our commandments, then I will come, my Father will come, and we will make our house we will come and dwell in you. So what is important? Important is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Word of God says, if you deny Christ, then I do not recognize you. If somebody has the Christ, then they have the Father. If somebody denies the Son, they cannot have Father. Somebody says, how come? Because you don't know who Father is. Jesus Christ says, I am the only one was in the bosom of my Father, and I reveal him. Read that verse 18. St. John chapter 1, verse 18.
No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
So he said, who revealed the Father? The Son. Where was the Son? In the bosom of the Father. Means Father and Son, they were all together from eternity to eternity. So he says, if somebody wants to know the Father, they have to go through me. That's what the John chapter 14, verse 6 is all about. He says, you want to go to heaven? Please read.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, he should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him.
How you can see Father? You have to see Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He says, like Father, like Son. So he says, I came from my Father. I was in his bosom. Now if you want to go to Father, come through me. Without Jesus Christ, no man can see Father. Because he is the only way to his Father. There is no other way, there is no other life, there is no other truth, and there is no other way to go to Father. Jesus is the only one. Paul is saying, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of the Christ comes to dwell in you. And that what that Spirit does, that Spirit cry from your heart, what? Abba, Father. Go back to the Galatians chapter 4, verse 6.
And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
So that means, if you are not born again, you have no relationship with the Father. Sin makes the wall between man and God. And we learned in our Bible study last week, Jesus Christ broke down the middle wall of partition through his blood. Now we have way to go to Father. So now he says, if you have the Spirit of Christ, if you have the Spirit of his Son, then you can call Abba, Father. Not only that, something else happens. Read the verse 7.
Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
He says, now you are not called servant, you are called the sons of God. If you are the sons of God, then whatever belongs to God is belong to you.
Amen.
Go back to the book of Romans, chapter 8, start from verse 15.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
It means now you are adopted in the family of God. You are not in bondage, means not you are not servant anymore. Now you are the children of God. So now we are not servant anymore. We are adopted in the family of God through Jesus Christ, so we can call Abba Father. Please read verse 16.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
So this is very simple but complicated. If the Spirit itself beareth witness with your spirit, if your spirit is not reborn,
sure,
you don't have any connection with God. People can say, I'm a Christian. Do you have a relationship, any connection with Father, any connection with Jesus? No. But here he says, your spirit will have connection with the Spirit of God. And that's the way we pray to God. The dog, the cat, any animal, they don't pray to God. Some people say, oh, they do. When did you here, all the dogs and cats get together and say, let's go to church. Or let's pray together. No. Why? Because they do not have the Spirit of God. They have soul and body. And we know the life of the animal or the person is in the blood. When they die, it's finished. They cannot go to heaven. But there are some preachers will tell you, your dogs and cats will go to heaven. Then I'll tell them, sir, if the dogs and cats goes to heaven, what's wrong with the donkeys? What's wrong with the cows? What's wrong with the monkeys? What's wrong with the elephants? What's wrong with the flies? What's wrong with the mosquitoes? What's wrong with the bugs? They all should go to heaven. Why only cats and dogs? There is a special warning is given in the book of Revelation. No dogs will be allowed in heaven. How much clearer you need? That's the dog means backslidden. Yeah. But I'm just saying, dogs and cats and animals, if they start going to heaven, do you know how many dogs and cats and animals died from the time of Adam until today? It will be a foolish thing. God did not make us for the cats and dogs. Cats and dogs were made for you. They're supposed to help you. And so instead of dog helping you, now you are helping dog. And so what I'm trying to say, the man has the spirit. Dog doesn't have the spirit. Animal doesn't have the spirit. And their spirit doesn't witness that they are the children of God. Only we can experience that we are the children of God. If somebody is not born again, then that person just like a dogs and cats. Because they are just like an animal. That's why if somebody doing bad stuff, what you say? He's the animal. There was a wrestler. His name was the animal. And he was acting like an animal. And so what I'm trying to say, if you're living a bad life, we think that's an animal's life. Animal has a little bit more sense. But some unsaved people are worse than animal. Because animals do not do certain things which people are doing today. So what I'm trying to say, your spirit has to be reborn. Your spirit has to have connection with the Father and the Son. Then you can call Abba, Father. And then you can feel the Spirit of God moving in your life. Read following verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 17.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, and that we may be also glorified together.
Now, if you are a child of God, then everything what God has is belong to you. And so you are joined with Christ, and together we can have everything what God has. But he says you are not going to get it so easy. Christ suffered for you, then you should suffer for him. Then you have share. If you say partner, 50-50, and you start a job, and you say, oh, our job is 50-50, but I'm not going to do anything. You do all the job and give me 50%. Doesn't work. You have to work hand in hand to get 50%. So if the Christ is your joint partner, then you should work with him. Then somebody says, what am I working for? What Christ worked for? Christ worked to redeem souls to kingdom of God. He got soul saved. So what we should be doing? We should work hand in hand and bringing the souls to the kingdom of God. That's the only thing we can do on this earth. Otherwise, there is no reason to live in this earth. If somebody says, I'm living to see my grandson. I'm living to see my great-grandchild. I'm living to see this and that. That is just the secondary thing. Our main purpose, we are living here for God. We have belonged to God, and we want to bring people to the kingdom of God. That's the only aim Christian brother or sister should have. Otherwise, your life will be miserable. verse 18, and then we go back to Galatians.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
So St. Paul is saying, you don't like to suffer. I already gave you the reason to suffer for Christ. You're going to get the glorious body, the glorious position. You'll be kings and priests in heaven. And whatever the suffering we have in this world, it's a short period of time. Do you know, even though somebody lives in this earth for 120, but comparing to eternity, it's nothing. It's a short period of time. Our lives on earth, like a bubble. We don't know how long we are going to live. Not a single person can say, or any doctor can say, let me write it down the day, month, hour, and second, what time you're going to die. Nobody knows. People are dying, children, the babies, the adults, the young, or anyone. So our time is appointed. Only God knows. So here he's saying, we should thank God that God has given us a chance to live in this world, suffer for his sake. So then, whatever the God has set for us, we'll get it. You cannot compare the life what you're going to get with this short life. Suffering of this world is for the short time. But the eternity is forever. Okay, let's go to the Galatians chapter 4, starting from verse 8.
Howbeit then, when you knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, but rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years.
Now St. Paul is saying, when you are not saved, you serve the other gods. Children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, they were serving other gods. But now we are born again children of God. So he said, when you didn't know God, you serve other gods. And somebody saying, we are not serving any other gods. There are so many Christian people, they have other gods. So what are my other gods? Your God is money. Your God is fame. Your God is some other stuff you cannot live without. That's what the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, not other things. We enroll in other things. Those things becomes our God. And then the verse 10, he says, some people observe days and months and times and years. He said, what's wrong with that? He's not saying, thinking about this calendar. He's thinking about horoscope. Some people want to know what is the best day. What day I should do business. What month I should be going out for trip. And all of these things, Christian people are doing it. And so, somebody says, what's wrong with that? Because if you start doing that, you are inviting witchcraft in your life. So St. Paul says, I'm afraid of you. Why he's afraid? Because you are going to be trapped in unholy thing. He's saying, you became weak and you became beggars, like a beggarly, means you lost everything. You lost the power of God, and you lost the blessings of God, and now you're going after other gods, and going after somebody, soothsayer, to tell me what day, what month, what year, what week is good for me. He says, I am worried about you. Read the verse 12.
Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all.
Now he's saying, be as I am. And then again he says, for I am as you are. Somebody says, what he's trying to say? First of all, he says, listen, I'm just like you. I'm a human being. But I want you to followers of Christ like me. I'm a man. Simple man, fleshly man, just like you and me. But if I can follow Christ, If I can believe Jesus Christ and be blessed, why cannot I do the same? And he says, let me tell you, you didn't do any harm to me, he says. But what they're doing, they're doing harm to themselves. If somebody doesn't go to church, they are not harming the pastor. They're harming themselves. If I don't go, I don't have to give money to God. Your money will be lost somewhere else. You will have more problem in the world. When you're giving to God, you are storing in kingdom of God. Not because you don't go to church, God is saying, okay, if you don't go to church this week, you don't have to give. He says, you're giving the Lord because he gave it to you and you love the Lord. So he's trying to say, you're not injuring me, you're injuring yourself. You're destroying yourself. But I'm trying to tell you, be like me. I'm like you, now you be like me. Verse 13.
You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus.
Now he's saying, when I came to you, I had some infirmity, means some kind of trouble he had. Now, so many people will take this scripture and say, see, this verse says, he had the infirmity, he has some kind of weakness, he has some kind of sickness, he has some kind of thorn, he has so many problems. But he says in verse 14, my temptation. Temptation is not a tempting to something. Here the word should be my trials. So whatever the trials I was going through, he says in verse 14, and my temptation, my trials, which was in my flesh. When you say, which was in my flesh, what does it mean? It's over now. But some people say, oh no, he had the problem until he died. What God says to him, my grace is sufficient. So when he believed in God and believed in his grace, in the flesh, whatever the problem he was having was gone. And he says, even though you saw me in that condition, just think that, let's take the example of Job. Job was hurting. He has scratches everywhere and he has boils everywhere. And his friends were accusing him. God comes and says, Job, go and pray for those people. Job, all dirty, all filthy, all bloody, everything. He didn't say, God, heal me first. Those people are going to make fun of me. They're not going to listen to me when I pray. But God didn't say, okay, I'm going to heal you first. And then you go, and then they will be understanding. God prepared the ground. God told those people first, you better go to Job. Otherwise, you're going to be destroyed. He's going to pray for you. God did not tell Job what he was going to do. What I'm trying to say, same situation. Paul comes to these people with his weaknesses. He didn't say, Lord, they're going to see my weakness. And they are not going to listen to me. Heal me, make me good, make me strong, then I'm going to go and preach. But he says, I came with the weaknesses. I came with the infirmities. I came with the trials and all kinds of problems. But at that time, you received me as I was. And you received me not only as a Paul, you received me like an angel. You have a lot of respect for me. And how you received Jesus Christ, even you received me as Christ in your life. So that means I was somebody. You did not look at my flesh at that time. You did not look at my weakness at that time. I came with the weakness. I came with the trouble. But I preached the gospel to you. And you thought at that particular time, I'm an angel. I'm the follower of Christ, and you received me. Verse 15.
Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, You would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me.
He said, you loved me so much. I have witness in my spirit. If I would have asked you, could you give me your eyes? You should have given me your eyes at that particular time. But now what happened? He says, where is that love? You know your children, when they are small, wherever you go, they follow you. My daughter, when she was small, we didn't have a big house. We had only one bedroom house. Daddy, where are you? I'm here. And she will be playing with us within seconds. Daddy, are you there? All the time she was asking, where are you, Daddy? Where are you, Daddy? Are you here? So they want all the time the presence of dad and mom when they are little. When they go to certain age, who cares what dad says and who cares what mom says? I do what I do now. I don't want to see even dad and mom in front of my eyes. I want them to disappear somewhere. I came to you and you loved me. You wanted to give your eyes. What happened to you? Why you changed so much? He says, the reason I know. Why? Read the verse 16.
Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
I became your enemy because I'm telling the truth. The children will not like when the certain age the mom and dad say, they think they are crazy. They don't understand my feeling. And so he says, I was telling you the truth. And you do not understand now. When I'm telling the truth, you hate me. That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. When I'm telling you something, your sins will find you out or you'll go to hell. I'm telling the truth. Follow me. And somebody says, what is the truth? You will not know the truth until your eyes is open. Once the truth comes in, now what happens? Then you say, pray. That's why Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and truth will set you free. Paul is saying, I'm telling the truth. And that's why you are acting like that. Verse 17.
They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you.
Okay, now what he's trying to say here, he says, there is a group of people coming to you. And what they're trying to tell you, they're winning your heart and they want your approval, they want your blessing to them. And so they're saying to you, do something wrong. And you're thinking, oh, those people give me respect. Those people are good people. I'm going to do favor. Just think that somebody wants to do something wrong, wants to break the law. And you are a friend with a mayor or governor. And they come to you, could you do us a favor? Go and say some good words to the governor for us so we can start this business. And some people overlook what they're doing and they say, okay, no problem. I can go. I can do it. St. Paul is saying, what are you doing? You're thinking that you are doing a favor to somebody, but you are doing for the wrong purpose. If you're helping somebody with a good intention, helping somebody with a good project, then that's good. But you're not doing that. So he said, what I'm thinking you're my little children. So he said, I have the birth pain, just like I want to give you a new life. And what kind of life I want to give? I want to give life that when I give you birth, that the Jesus Christ should be formed in you. So what does it mean? I want to see Christ in you. And that's my pain. That's my suffering. Why I'm feeling so sorry? Because you're dying without God and without Christ. When you go and tell somebody about Jesus and they hate you, sir, brother, sister, you don't know I love you. Jesus loves you. You don't understand why I'm spending this time with you. Sometimes I spend 12 hours with somebody telling them about Jesus Christ. One boy was his father murdered his mother in front of his eyes and he was running for his life. And some professor told me, sit with this boy. He doesn't understand. He was not a boy, he was 22 years old, man. I sat with him evening 6 o'clock until morning 5 o'clock. And then morning 5 o'clock, this boy started crying like a baby. I said, why are you crying? He said, my dad didn't love me. My dad killed my mother. And I was running for my life. And I had so many questions. And I want to talk to somebody. Nobody had time. You spent whole night with me. Why did you do this? I said, sir, Jesus Christ shed last drop of blood for me. I just spent 12 hours with you. Jesus gave his life. If Jesus didn't save my life, I won't be sitting with you 12 hours. That man gave his life to Jesus Christ. Today, he's the minister of Jesus Christ. So St. Paul is saying, why I'm travailing? Why I'm having pain? I want to see Christ form in you. That means I want to see you as a child of God. Or a sincere believers in Christ. Verse 20. Galatians 4:20.
I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law?
Okay, now he's saying, when Paul writes the letter, his letters are very strong. So just like he's talking to them, he said, I like to change my voice or my dialogue. I want to be a little bit softer. But what I'm trying to tell you are under the law and I'm trying to bring you out of that. And my voice or my language sound like so harsh to you. But if I come in person, I want to change my talking. I want to be a little bit kind to you and tell you the truth. Sometimes some people say, you know, people don't like a harsh word. They like soft words. And soft word can turn anger away. But when he's writing, he cannot change what he's writing. So he says, I'll come in person sometimes. And I'll sit with you. I'll talk with you with a softer voice. And loving voice. And I want to bring you to the truth. Verse 22.
For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice thou, barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband.
Now here, Paul is saying, I'm giving an example. And example he's giving, the Sarah and Hagar. He says the Abraham went to Hagar that was not by the will of God. That was flesh. Son with a fleshly desire. But the Isaac was not born by the fleshly desire that was promised by God. So he says, there are two different children. One is from the slave, and one is from the real wife. So he's saying, what God told Abraham, get rid of this slave woman and her child. It was hard for Abraham to understand why God hates my son Ishmael. God said, I'll bless him with a physical blessing, But the heavenly blessing comes through the seed of Abraham, that is Jesus Christ. And so he says, you do not understand, you are going backward. God came to set you free. And you have to understand, you are not born with a slave woman. You are born with a free woman. Verse 28.
Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now.
Now, what he's trying to say, if somebody lives in the flesh, means worldly life, that worldly person will harass children of God. So he's saying, whoever is born after the flesh, they are going to harass you. But once the person is born again, then we become friends. We are all children of God. So in short, what he's trying to say, so enemies coming to you and trying to make you in bondage. But let me tell you, we are not the children of bondwoman. We are free. Don't go to the bondage. If you are free, don't entangle again the yoke of bondage. So we do not want to be going back to the world. We have to follow Christ. Okay, let's read the remaining verses.
Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
Now, so somebody says, I'm not bound. Oh, yeah? You check. Check what bondage you have. Check what bad habits you have. Are you free? Or are you bound? So if you are bound, be set free. You cannot be bound and go to heaven. You are slave to something or someone. Means you are acting like a slave. God said to Abraham, cast out that servant and her son. So what is trying to do? The same way you do. Cast out evil things. Cast out the things which is not pleasing in the sight of God. If you love the Lord, then we have to get rid of the junk God doesn't love. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, first verse.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
So what he's saying? Take all your sin, all your weight, all your things which is causing you not to run in the godly race. If you want to run in the marathon, you cannot tie 500 pounds in your back and run. You are not going to move an inch. So here he says, before you, all these men of God went to heaven and they have set a good example. Did you see anywhere Peter or Paul or any apostles had any bad habits? No, they gave up everything. They gave up their business, they gave up everything, and they followed the Lord. And then he said, whatever the sin easily comes to you, what is that sin? Unbelief and doubt. Easily will come to you. The devil came very easily to them and put the doubt in their heart. Did God tell you not to eat any fruit in the garden? Very cunning way. So simply the doubt and the unbelief will take you to hell. And so we have to be believing in God, looking unto Jesus Christ. The following verse says, please read and we are going to finish.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
And he died for us, he rose again, and today he's sitting at the right hand of God. And if you want to go where Jesus Christ is, then he says, look into him. Looking unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Don't lose faith. Follow Christ. That's what he's trying to say. If I have faith in Jesus Christ, I do not need any other things. So Some people do not have faith in God. That's why the other things are there to pacify them. It's like a pacifier. God has given us everything. We don't need a pacifier. The smoking, the drinking, the gambling, and all of these things are pacified to you. It doesn't give you anything. Just makes you feel good. They are the one who is going to take you to hell. So he said, looking unto Jesus. Jesus never had any bondage in his life. He was a free man. That's why he said, I'm the truth, and I can set you free. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord Jesus, let each and every believer believe in their heart, I want to be like Christ. I want to reflect my life and let the people see Jesus in me. So let me live for Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, help us and give us grace to live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.